Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Good people, this past week in our gathering together, as we came together to worship our God, we looked at a lesson entitled, There's a Great Day Coming. In that lesson, if you will recall, we identified that the Bible tells us with full assurance that Jesus Christ is coming again. In His coming, we understand is that there will be a great resurrection. There will be a resurrection of the saints and a resurrection of all who are in the grave. And in that day, that those who are alive, they will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And good people, we understand also from the context of Scripture, as we also pointed out last week in our lesson, is that in that day when Jesus comes and that great resurrection takes place, there will be a great judgment day where every individual will stand before the Almighty God, and that mankind will then receive the just reward that they have deserved, that they have earned during the course of their life here upon the face of the earth. Some will be rewarded with an eternal life in heaven with our God, but yet at the same time others will be judged and be condemned to an eternal life in hell. Good people, what we think in regard to our subject this morning concerning the reality of hell? Hell is not a popular subject. In fact, today it is not politically correct to speak in regard to sin, but more specifically regarding the types of sin that God condemns in and through the Scripture. God looks at all who violate His law, and He identifies any violation of the law as a sin against Him. And good people, the Bible also tells us that whenever we transgress the law of God, that it separates us from Him, and that if we do not have those sins forgiven while we live here upon the face of the earth through the blood of Christ, conjoined with our obedience to God's will, that we will face hell, eternal hell. And mankind does not like to hear concerning the possibility of going to hell. But also we understand concerning our lesson this morning is that it is not a popular subject, or excuse me, a positive subject. There's nothing positive that I can say in regard to hell. I was speaking with Keith this past week in regard to there's no positive to say about hell. And his statement was, as he said, I can positively say I don't want to go there. And certainly each and every one of us ought to state and to be of that mindset. There is nothing positive about hell. But when we think in regard to our God's Word, the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every word of God is inspired. Every word that we find is in the Bible has come from God. And as a minister of the gospel of Christ, according to what Paul taught in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, we must speak as the oracles of God. And good people, we must present the fullness of God's holy and divine Word. Therefore, whenever it comes to a subject concerning hell, we need to make certain that we preach and that in preaching that we preach accurately concerning what our God has said concerning this terrible place. When we think about hell, there are many false views in regard to this place. 40% of people do not believe. They do not believe that Satan exists, nor do they believe that hell is a real place. They believe, especially amongst those who are atheists and agnostics, they believe that hell has been fabricated, that it is only in the minds of those who claim to be Christian, and that we use this term hell and the consequences of hell and the terribleness concerning hell as a scare tactic concerning what it is that we want people to believe concerning our God. From a religious standpoint also, there are false views. Some believe that hell only exists in the mind. That if an individual thinks concerning hell, that hell is real to them. But if they do not think in regard to hell, it does not exist. Also, we understand is that some believe concerning hell that if God sentences individuals to eternal hell, is that it is not without end, but rather that it is a total annihilation. In other words, that the individual will enter in and will be totally burned up and consumed, and they will cease to exist. But we also understand is that some people believe that hell is in the grave. And that hell also has a realm that is known as purgatory, and that if an individual will just pay their dues while they're there and do their time, that God will eventually release them from the state of purgatory or partial hell. Good people, they present these things saying that we are trying to scare mankind into believing in God. Why do other people contend this? because they believed that a loving God would not send people to hell. This morning I ask you, what does the Bible say concerning hell? Is hell a real place? Does hell really and truly exist? Good people, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught that hell is indeed real. We learn as Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocritical attitudes because they were saying one thing and doing another, and they were seeking to bind their laws upon the Jews at that given time. And Jesus looked at them and He identified that they were hypocritical in their action. And good people, He taught them that these people could not escape the condemnation of hell. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33. We also understand as what Jesus taught there at the Sermon on the Mount, good people, as He taught people concerning the need to make certain that they focus upon our God, and as they look at mankind, that they were to call no one fool, because in doing so, those who called individuals fool, that they were in danger of hell fire. Also, we understand, as taught in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus, whenever He sent out those in the limited commission, He taught these individuals that they were to go out, and in going out, that they were going to be rejected, and in being rejected, that they were to dust their feet off and to go on unto other individuals who would hear them. And then, whenever they came into contact with these individuals who would not want to know the way of our God, that they were not to fear these individuals, but rather that they were to fear the One who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. What did Jesus say in regard to hell? Good people, our Lord and Savior taught that hell is indeed real. It exists. It's not something that has been concocted in the minds of those who call themselves Christians, but rather it is taught in the Scripture. And God presents through Christ that hell is indeed a real place. What will hell be like? What does the Bible say in regards to hell? Good people, according to the Scripture, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth of those individuals who find themselves in hell. Why? Why will there be weeping? Why will there be gnashing of teeth? Because the Bible tells us that in hell there will be torment. The Bible identifies for us concerning hell is that there is a fire and a flame there. We also understand, as is taught in the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, is that it is described as a furnace. And those who are there, good people, it will be harder than anything, any place that an individual will find themselves in here in this world. And the interesting thing in regard to this is that it is defined as a place of torment from the time in which an individual passes from this life into eternity. Those who pass outside of Christ, they enter into the Hadean realm, into the realm known as Tartarus. And there, these individuals are tormented in the flame. And good people understand is that that's not the end. That's only the beginning in eternal hell, where God will sentence these individuals throughout eternity. That torment shall not end. We also understand in regard to this is that there will be anguish. There will be immense mental anguish, I believe, upon the hearts and the minds of those individuals who had been taught but yet have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Not only with those individuals who have obeyed the gospel, members of the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, if they walk away, the Bible identifies for us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21 that the end is worse for them than the beginning. You see, we have absolutely nothing new to share with them. We'll be one aspect of that whenever we go to trying to restore them. But also I believe that there's possibly the implication there that in the eternal life is that these individuals will suffer mentally because of the fact of what they had and walked away from it. There will be eternal anguish there. There will be absolutely no release. Why? Because the Bible tells us that hell is eternal. Good people, who's going to be there? The Bible tells us that hell has been prepared first and foremost for Satan and his cohorts. Satan led the rebellion against God. And in leading this rebellion now, he has become the adversary. He has become our opponent in and throughout life. But we understand that He did not stand alone. Also, the Bible identifies for us that there were other angels who followed according to this leader. And the Bible tells us that these individuals, these spiritual beings, that they are reserved in chains until the final judgment. And whenever God sends Christ back, and whenever all stands before God in judgment, the Bible identifies for us that Satan and his followers will be sentenced to eternal damnation. Good people, also we understand concerning those who are going to be there, is that those who are atheists and or agnostics, those who do not believe in God, those who say that God does not exist. The Bible tells us in Psalm 14 and verse 1 that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Why are they counted as a fool before God? Good people, because some of these days, one day, these individuals will stand before God in judgment. In fact, the Apostle Paul taught in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, even the atheist and the agnostic. What's an agnostic? An agnostic is from that Greek word gnosko. And gnosko is to know. Agnostic means is that they claim that they cannot know. They believe that there's insufficient evidence to prove one way or the other whether God exists. And as a result of that, good people, they just do not believe. They never obey. And the Bible tells us concerning these individuals that they too shall be lost. They too shall be sentenced to an eternal condemnation in hell. Who else will be there? The Bible tells us that those who are worldly and those who are ignorant, those without knowledge, those who live their life for the here and now, those who have no time for God, those who do not want to know Him, those who will never step foot in regard to the true church, and who will never learn and never obey the will of the Lord, the Bible tells us that those individuals will be eternally lost, that these people will be sentenced to an eternal life in hell. But even those who are ignorant, those who do not know, individuals who have never heard the truth. And somebody says, Kevin, is that fair? Yes, good people, that's fair. And the reason that it's fair is because God has given us His Word and He's placed it upon us, those who are members of the church, members of His body. We have the responsibility as fellow citizens of the kingdom, as children of God, to take the God-given message, the saving message of the grace that is found only in Christ unto those who do not know. And if they do not hear, they will be lost eternally. And shame on us if we do not do our part in trying to reach them with truth about Christ. The Bible also tells us that those who are in denominations, in cults, and other man-made religions, that these individuals will be lost in the day of judgment. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" These people are religious people. They contend that they are doing things in the name of our Lord and Savior. And they are seeking according to what their theology teaches them and according to their mindset. They are doing these things to the glory and to the honor of our God. But good people, understand, simply doing things in the name of Jesus is not going to get an individual to heaven. What do I mean by that? Doing things and then saying I'm doing it in the name of Jesus is not what God expects. What does God expect? He expects us to have book, chapter, and verse. He wants us to do it by the authority of Christ. In fact, Jesus said, did He not, in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all power, our authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. The people, the religious world that does not do things in the name of Christ, but rather they follow according to what we find in Matthew chapter 15 verses 8 and 9, the doctrines and creeds of man. And they offer up a vain worship to God. These people will find their eternal destination in hell. but also the Bible tells us that those who are erring and hypocritical will also be in hell. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe have worshipped here, not only here, but universally, in faithful congregations of the Lord's church. They were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but the world, the temptation of the world, drew them back. Maybe they fell subject to the false teachings of denominationalism. Possibly they just got caught up in other ventures of life that took them away from the Lord. And according to what the Apostle Paul taught in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, these individuals have fallen from the grace of God. What does it mean to fall from the grace of God? Good people, salvation is in the grace of God. And the grace of God is extended through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son and our Savior. In the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present age." God's grace is extended in Christ. And those who have put Christ on in baptism and have turned away have fallen from the grace, the salvation of our God. And they will be lost in the end. Those individuals will spend eternity in a devil's hell. But also the Bible tells us that those who are hypocritical, who are those individuals? Those people are those who will come on Sunday morning and maybe even on Sunday nights and on Wednesdays, and they will say amen to the sermon. They will sing songs of praise with the saints. They will even partake of the Lord's Supper. And they will go out and occasionally profess themselves to be a child of God, to be a New Testament Christian. But in reality, that does not characterize their life. They will act like the world acts. They will live like the world lives. They will talk like the world talks. And our God does not know them. These individuals are erring, but still the Bible identifies as that they are amongst our mix. How do we say this? Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 34, that in that day, in the day of judgment, God will separate the sheep, that is His faithful, from the goats. Those who are hypocritical will be eternally lost, will be condemned to an eternal condemnation in hell with Satan. Good people, hell is a terrible place. It is a negative sermon, but it is an essential lesson that God commands us to talk about, to realize, and to avoid, to make certain that we live our lives to where we avoid going there. In Christ, the Bible tells us that there is forgiveness. Amen. If an individual is an atheist or an agnostic, they can turn to the Lord and they can be forgiven of their sin. If an individual is of the world or if they're ignorant and do not know of God, they can learn of God and they can turn their life to God and receive the forgiveness of sin. Those who are in denominationalists, those who are cults, those who are involved in other world religions, they can come to know the true and living God and to put away these false gods, these gods that have been created by mankind, and they can serve the true and living God, is what those in Thessalonica did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. And those who are erring, those brothers and sisters in Christ who have turned away from the Lord, or those who are living their life saying one thing and yet doing another, the Bible tells us that they can come home and receive the forgiveness of sin in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says that we are redeemed in the blood of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says that whenever an individual is baptized into Christ, that they receive the forgiveness of sin. And good people, in Jesus we receive the forgiveness of sin, and in Christ we have hope. While today's lesson has been a negative lesson per se on hell, we're going to balance that out in 2 weeks from now to preach on the hope of heaven. And the hope of heaven is in Jesus Christ. We have hope. We have great joy and hope while we live here in this world. We have hope in an eternal life in heaven with God. Hell is prepared for those who are unprepared to stand before God. Heaven is prepared for those who are prepared in Christ Jesus. Today we ask the simple question, yet thought-provoking, we do hope. Are you unprepared, or are you prepared to stand before the Almighty God?